can't take it to 10.
Welcome everyone back to another edition of Telltales Unplugged. Today we have a special episode where we're going to be going over the Ballon d'Or results that is just taking place today. So without further ado, I'm going to hand it over to Elliot to get things started.
All right, so we're just going to go through the list from 30 to 1 or whatever, and we're going to just speak on if we agree, disagree, that sort of thing, and just kind of go through it. The first, you know, the first 10 or 15, I think, is pretty straightforward. But once we hit something that we disagree with, then we can evaluate as we go on, and then we'll get deeper into the conversation. As we get to the top, as we will discuss the absolute travesty and robbery and the corrupted fucking thing that we saw today. All right, so I'm just going to go through the list from top to bottom. If you agree, just kind of go with it. If not, whatever. All right, so let's see here. In 30th was Cesar Azpilicueta from Chelsea, won the Champions League with Chelsea, obviously. He's their captain. Captain aside, lifted the trophy. I think that's fair. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's fair too.
Okay. Technically 20, but 26 tied for, so this three tied for the next three spots. Your boy Nicola Barella, Scudetto win for Inter Milan, continues to be one of the best midfielders in the league. But not enough to sort of propel him any further than that. I assume you're good with that. Do you think he should get higher?
I think he should. I mean, not too much higher, but just a little bit more, just based on like him being sometimes that, like, the sole person who carries the team. Oh my gosh. But I mean, just if anything, maybe two more places higher, but nothing more than that.
Just hold on to that thought. So when we go through the ones that you, the other ones coming up, you tell me where you'd put him. Just keep in mind that. I'm okay with him there. If they would have him a little higher, I'd be okay with that as well. Again, was really influential. He's been good this season, been good last season. So 2021 has been a good year for him. But again, when you think that Inter team from last year, you think of Lukaku, Martinez, and even De Vrij, I think, is more of sort of the ilk. But, you know, I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's too messed up. Right in front of him, Gerard Moreiro. If you don't know him that well, he won the Europa League with Villarreal, who's a top scorer. Europa League, obviously, is good for his resume. He was a good striker in La Liga. I think he was top three. But again, I'm okay with him here.
Yeah, that's kind of like, I would have dropped him into that 26th position. But,
yeah.
I mean, it is what it is on that one.
All right. This one, I think, is a little, I wouldn't say too low, but I think he could have been up a few more spots, and that's Ruben Dias. Obviously, we know him from Manchester City. Their center back, Manchester City, even though they've been winning a lot prior to his involvement, weren't really like a stone cold defensive team, and he went up against Mbappe and Neymar and had good performances, and also prior to that went up against some top teams. I think Dias at this spot is too low. He didn't have a great Euros, but I think overall I think he should have been I wouldn't say much higher, but I think this is just a little too low, considering he took them to, he was not the only player, obviously, but his defending was a big influence in them making the Champions League final.
Yeah, I totally agree. He should have been a little bit higher in this bracket, because obviously with his contribution on the defense, they become way more solid, and without his contribution, it would have been like troubling for Manchester City to even like make it and really make that push like we see from a season in and season out.
Yeah, I think probably 10 spots higher than he got. But I'm not going to get bent out of shape about where he is, but I think we both agree that he should be higher. Certainly higher than the ones I've listed already, but I think higher from a few ones that I'm going to mention now. Let's see. Okay. So next up is Phil Foden, Manchester City youngster, very good player. One of English football's brightest young talents, had a very good season, statistically scored, against Liverpool, in that really, rough one for Liverpool last year, was good in the Champions League. Overall, I think collectively he had a really good season. Again, this one I can go either way. I get why he's here. Maybe he should be a little lower, but he could obviously be a little higher as well. Thoughts?
I mean, this is a fair position for him as well. I mean, it could have gone either way depending on the situation, but I mean, overall, it's a fair spot for him to be in.
Yeah, another one coming up next is Pedri, Barcelona youngster. Just won the Copa trophy, which is given out to the youngest, best young player in Europe. Again, I don't have a big problem with that either because I think that was kind of close. But I think he did a fair job with Barcelona. He seems to be there. They've seemed to identify him particularly as their young talent they're going to build around for the future. I could see him going a little higher, but again, Barcelona probably would have struggled significantly without Messi. So it's hard to sort of dictate his influence, but he's obviously a fantastic player. But I think 24 is fine for him. Agree?
Yeah, I agree, because a lot of these like are straightforward right now until it gets to the nitty-gritty.
Yeah, Harry Kane is next. Again, last season he was fantastic as always. This season not as much. They didn't win anything, but he's pretty consistent. But he didn't do anything out of the ordinary. Like he was spectacular in the way of Harry Kane is spectacular, but he wasn't spectacular to a level where you would need to push him higher up. Again, this is another one. I could see both sides. You could push him higher up, but he also could put him back a little bit depending on your criteria. And again, it's a weird thing because the criteria of how they evaluate this is dictated based on personal perspectives on this, which makes the whole system of kind of unbalanced. But from my perspective, I think you could push them higher, you could push them lower, but I think this is a fine spot for him.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Another Inter boy, Lautaro at 21. Now, here's the thing. I understand why he's low, because the problem with this is when you look up the list, who are you taking out to replace him if he goes higher up? But I think this, because the season he had and because of the season he's having this season with you guys, I think he has to be much higher. My feelings aren't hurt by this. I don't think anyone should be offended by this, but I think, I think he should be a little bit higher, maybe somewhere in the middle, maybe 16, 17 around there, I think is a more appropriate spot for Lautaro, but that's just me. As an Inter fan, where do you land on that?
I'm pretty much in the same boat with the season he had last season really being a crucial piece of our attack. Mostly at times, like if Barella wasn't like having a strong game or something, Martinez really became the main facilitator for Lukaku, along with him being like a versatile striker himself. So, I mean, and the season that he's having right now is just phenomenal. So he would have definitely should have been pushed maybe in the like, I would say maybe 16, 17 position.
Yeah, I agree. I think that especially this season where he's more or less become the guy. And I know Dzeko's scoring a lot of goals, but he's their best player, at least to me. So next 2022, I think we'll see him if he continues to build on this and you win something. I think he'll be higher up next season. But again, I would have had him higher, but I don't have a big problem with where he's at just because – he's not winning it. He's nowhere near the sort of the part where we're really going to kind of focus on here. But I think he's done enough to separate himself from some of the other names that are going to come ahead of him right now. All right. So that was Martinez, obviously. Bro Fernandez. I think this is kind of the same with Martinez. I'm not offended by the fact that he's in the same spot, but I think, but considering the season Bruno had last season, just the whole year, he's been 2021, he's been fantastic. I think you could see him a lot higher too, just because of his influence on that team from start to finish before they brought in some of the other guys. Ronaldo was there not last year, so Bruno's kind of being the guy for them and pushing them forward and has been great. And again, I said this all the time, he was the worst Serie A player ever or that I had seen in my life. And then he just kind of all of a sudden, 3, 4, 5, 6 years later, he's an awesome world-class player who's doing it for Manchester United. It's kind of crazy to kind of fathom, but he's been outstanding and I think a little low. But again, I don't think this is horribly bad just because – you know, he again, because it's just not the part of the list that's important.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on this one too.
All right. Riyad Mahrez is at 20. Again, Man City. Hold on, they won the yeah, they did. Sorry, they won the Premier League last year. He's been great for them ever since he's been there. He's a good player. But again, it's just. I think he probably lower than Martinez and Fernandez, but I don't mind him here. It's not close enough to the table where it's offensive to have some of these guys where they are. But you know, I'm okay with that. It's not like I think it's a fine spot. I don't have a big issue with it. I probably a little too high for me, but I think this is a fine spot for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's like. If he was going to go any higher, I don't think it would justify it. But, I mean, it's a decent position for him overall. It could be worse. He could have been lower in the positioning of this thing. But, overall, fair result for him. I mean,
yeah, I don't think – yeah. He could have got a few spots higher, but not, like, drastically. So, I think it's a fair. Up next, Mason Mount from Chelsea. The young – I think, like, 2023 – he's a young player for them. He came through the academy. He was really good last year. He's been good this year at times. I think, I think he was a big part of that Champions League run as well. And really came forward and has grown into himself under Tuchel. And I think he's been fantastic. So I think this is a fair spot. Again, this is with a lot of them. I could argue he'd go higher. I could argue he could go lower, but I think Mason Mount at his age, and that he is, I think he'll be very happy with finishing in that spot at 19.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. This one I think is a bit too high. Simon Kjaer, he's the defender, their center back at AC Milan. Obviously, he had a great season with AC Milan, getting to the Champions League, but also was the guy in the Euros who prevented Eriksen from swallowing his tongue. I think that has nothing to do with the Ballon d'Or rankings, just to give you a picture if you didn't remember. I think you should because he's your rival. But I think it's a little high. He had a good season. But, yeah, but I think, like, Martinez should be ahead of him. Mars should be ahead of him. Bruno Fernandes should be ahead of him. But, you know, I don't mind him at 18. I don't think it's bad.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little high for him, but still, he's the AC Milan player that has earned my respect. So, I mean, thank you for helping Eriksen during that time, but I do agree it's just a little too high for him based on what I've seen from him.
Okay, now we're gonna get into a little bit of controversial waters before we get into really controversial waters because there's a name upcoming that's not next that is just ridiculous. All right, so Luis Suarez, and I get why he's at 17, I do, but I could also see it the other way because he left Barcelona, joined Atletico Madrid, they won La Liga. He's either the first or second top scorer in the league. During the first half of that season, he had 16. He had like 16 goals on 19 shots or something. So very efficient player. Wins another La Liga title with the ones he already picked up at Barcelona. He goes to Atletico and does the same. Champions League, he didn't do much, to be honest. But in the league, he was pretty fantastic, and I think I could certainly see you push him higher up and a little further. But I don't have a big issue with that because I think this is this might be slightly controversial at 17 because there's some players ahead of him that probably shouldn't be ahead of him. But then there's others who I think that are significant, obviously deserve to be higher ranked. But I think all in all, I think it's a fair spot. But I do understand the argument of a little higher up.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, based on the player he is, he could have moved up, gotten moved up a couple positions. But, I mean, it's fair to be having me in this area, too, so.
All right. Now we're going to stop this program because we're going to have a conversation for real now. And number 16 is Neymar. All right, so I'm going to say my bit, and then I'll let you say your bit. It's one of those things where it's the – again, I'm going to bring this quote up again because when we come higher up with more outrageous ones, I'm going to bring this up. Johan Cruyff once said that the Ballon d'Or is just a bunch of journalists voting for their friends, right? So if you look at Neymar as a whole, at the player, the brilliance and all that stuff, he is not likable by a lot of people. So he's unlikely to be highly regarded and ranked unless his numbers are too astronomical or something like that, right? So Neymar is a big reason why that PSG went so far. He was unbelievable against Bayern. He was just out of this fucking world against Bayern Munich. He was great against them in the second leg too. He did things. He had moments against Manchester City, even though that was a poor performance by the team collectively. In both of those games, and he had an outstanding season. His numbers weren't crazy, but he was flawless in the group stage. He did well in the knockout rounds. When he played for PSG, when he's healthy, he's outstanding. Again, Neymar's big issue is being healthy. So maybe they put him in that position because of his lack of health, lack of games and all that stuff, which I get. But I think for Neymar to be, you know, this low, and it's not so much that he's this low. The issue I have with him being placed here is some of the names that are ahead of him that shouldn't be. So if you're saying, okay, he's ranked here because of lack of game time, I respect that. But when he played last year, this last year, 2021, he's been absolutely outstanding. So I think it's a little disingenuous to have him that low, considering how impactful he was on the PSG run to the semifinal.
Yeah, I mean, he should have been a little bit more ahead in this thing based on where some of the others have landed. And I mean, obviously, I don't know how, like I said, I have no clue how they do this thing. I mean, basically, like you just said, probably journalists voting for their best buddy. But it's like, if he was more so healthy and was putting up big numbers, he would probably been higher up. I mean, I understand if it's because of the lack, like you said, the lack of game time and the lack of participation he has. But overall, when he plays, he is a huge part to that PSG team. So, I mean, I think this is kind of unfair for him, but, I mean, I understand if it was based off of just the playing time in general, though.
Exactly, but only if that's the reason. If they're degrading him down here for any other reason, then it's unexcusable. But if the case is, okay, Neymar missed this amount of games, I don't think we should put him up high, then that's fine. But if it's for any other reason, then, you know, just calm down and take a seat in the naughty corner. All right.
Okay, that's a new one.
This one I could see kind of flipping either way. Raheem Sterling at 15, and he didn't have by the standards that Manchester City expect, a great season domestically with them. Wasn't a bad season, but it was a pretty good season, just not the standards that Manchester City expect from Raheem Sterling. But in the Euros, he broke out. And again, when we talk about international tournaments, they only come – I don't know how to explain this. It's only reference and it's only relevant under certain circumstances. This is because Raheem Sterling is not vibing for the top spot and potentially winning it, I'm okay with using that criteria and that terminology to sort of enhance Raheem Sterling. Because he had a great Euros. His season wasn't amazing before that, but and he's been okay this season. But overall, I think it's probably a bit high. But I totally respect and understand where they have them there because of the influence that he had in the summer. However, that wouldn't be relevant if he was in the top 5 or 10, because I think the standard of criteria has to go up a level when you're in that area, just because those are teams, or these players that can potentially win it, or at least get a very high standard. This is a little lower than that. So because of that, I'm okay with using the summer with England as sort of part of the sort of breaking down why he would be there. But again, I could see him going lower, and I could probably see him go a little higher depending on it. But I think if anything, he probably goes a little lower. But I'm totally okay with him being at 15. That doesn't bother me whatsoever.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me either, because like I said, if it was based on like the summer performance, obviously move him up just a little bit higher. But I mean, in general, fair spot for him to be in.
Okay, I'm just going to put these two together because they belong together because they're a partnership. 14 and 13 is Leonardo Bonucci and Giorgio Chiellini. I think that's fair. They're two of the best center back. I mean, they're one of the best center back partnerships in the world. They won the Euros together. And again, that's only relevant because of where they are in the thing. And I think it's different for different types of players. But because usually, you know, you don't want to use that to pamper your argument, but they've been pretty outstanding for Juventus last season. This season, they've been okay, but the whole team is an absolute fucking mess. So you can't say that the reason that they're not higher up has to do with that, or they have to be lower because of that. I'm okay with this. In hindsight, I think Neymar should have been at one of these probably. Because I think if you put Neymar in one and then you put I would say either Lautaro or Bruno in the other, then I think that's more realistic. But I'm okay with those two. They were outstanding in Italy. And before Juventus, you know, collapsed, they're still pretty good together. Even in the bad season they're having, right, that Juve is having, when they're together and clicking, they're still fantastic. So I'm okay with those two being exactly where they are.
Yeah, I'm fine with it too. And hello, welcome to Juventus, the Class A shit show. but yeah, overall, this is having them both together in this position isn't bad at all.
All right, another one of your, I guess, still your buddy, but not your buddy that's wearing a different shade of blue, Romelu Lukaku in 12th. Again, it just depends on all. I don't think he could go any lower than that personally, because of the amount of goals he scored, and he was very important to Inter winning the title last year. But at the same time, you know, I think that there's obviously guys in front of him that he probably could say, okay, he was better than him last season. You could put him forward, but his numbers stand for himself. I don't think you could push him back any further, even though he's done well at Chelsea, but the big problem with him is he's not been available. So he hasn't been able to explode the way he did at Inter the last 2 years. But I do have faith that he will hit the ground running at Chelsea and he'll start scoring goal after goal after goal, because he's a striker. That's what he does. But I think Lukaku had a great season last year. There's no reason why he can't be in the top 12. Again, he's probably on this list, probably deserves to be a little higher than Martinez, and a little higher than Bruno, but I do think that this is a very fair placing of him, but you know, and so on. But what are your thoughts on your boy?
He's no longer my, well, he's kind of still my boy, but he's on the low down boy kind of thing. But you know, I mean he could have been a little bit higher, but I mean, overall, based on what he did with Inter last season and everything, getting us finally a Scudetto. So, I mean, overall, it was a great performance. But if we're still kind of taking some of what's going on so far this season, obviously he hasn't been available as much and really isn't, like, throwing – obviously when he does get playing time, he's still throwing back those goals, like shots at the bar on Friday night. But yeah, I mean, but overall he just hasn't had the playing time, so I mean, I guess this is a fair position. But I think if he was given more playing time and was more available, I think he would have been a little bit higher in this list. But overall, definitely fair spot.
Yeah, I think so too. And a lot of when they do this, I actually don't know how they do this, but a lot of this is partly from last season because we're in December. So it's basically a lot of what's happening. You're taking the data from not this current campaign, but the one before that. And I think he was fantastic. And, you know, he won you a title and he was a big reason why it happened. So I don't think you can side look that. And that's a big deal because they hadn't won in forever and they probably won't. No, I'm just kidding. I think they're going again, but you know, Lukaku was very important to that particular inter team with Conte. And yeah, I think that's fair. All right. Now this is the point where I started getting pissed off.
Ladies early and gentlemen, get your snacks ready for this because this is going to get fun.
No, I'm not getting super pissed yet. I just started getting pissed when I saw it. This was the first time I was like, you have to be fucking kidding me. But I didn't get angry yet. It wasn't until later. Okay. So Erling Haaland. Notice that I did not say Jorginho, Donnarumma, or Conte. You're telling me that Erling Haaland – scored 40 plus goals last season, was a top three goal scorer in the Bundesliga last season, won a trophy for Dortmund, who hadn't won one in many years, not a couple years. Someone who scored 40 plus goals, who got to 25 Bundesliga goals the fastest, got to 35 the Bundesliga goals the fastest, and just hit 50 this season. He's been injured. He comes off the bench this week against Wolfsburg, scores the nail in the coffin, and it's a karate chop goal. So you're telling me a guy who's by a large extension one of the best strikers in the world, the only ones you can really say are better than him is Benzema and Lewandowski. So a top three striker in the world who scored 40 goals, who was scoring in the Champions League last year, helped them get to the quarterfinal, scored pretty much on a regular basis on their way to a deep run in the Champions League. You're telling me a guy with 42 fucking goals is now not as highly regarded as someone who was good about half the season and won a bunch of trophies. This is beyond ridiculous. Erling Haaland is one of the best players in the world. No one is going to second guess that. No one's going to sort of nothing. This is when I got really irritated because this is the point where you stop looking at the stats, you stop looking at what they did, and you start counting trophies. So if, by that terminology, then Emerson should be a Ballon d'Or candidate too because he won a bunch of trophies. So you have to look at all this, but this is beyond ridiculous. Erling Haaland, considering the numbers, considering the dominance of the Bundesliga, which, you know, you can argue about what you want, is one of the best leagues in the world, and what he was able to do in the Champions League with Dortmund too, last season especially, and this season he's already got a whole bunch of goals as well. It's absurd to have him this low. It is absolutely absurd.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. This is, I don't know. I'm trying to save the Ryan word for later on, but you know the word I'm thinking of.
Hold on. God. What does he say?
My God, this is egregious.
I don't remember what it was. It's something. An absolute joke.
We love you, Ryan, and can't wait to record with you soon. But I mean, yeah, it's totally egregious because he literally scored almost 50 goals last season. And it's just like with how he, I mean, this is just totally ridiculous. And he definitely deserves to be higher. I'm thinking like seventh position.
Yeah, top 10 for sure, top 7 possibly, maybe even top 5. It just depends on a lot of it. But I mean, come on. It's not just the guy lit it up, he also won a trophy against a very good Leipzig side. So, this is when I really start getting irritated because it's like they're not paying attention to the important details and they're paying attention to all the details that are completely irrelevant to the conversation. Erling Haaland should be more in, and I hope he gets – you know what I hope? I hope – actually, no, I can't say it because I hope Lewandowski gets revenge too. They're actually playing against each other on Sunday. I would love to see them get 4 each in like a 5-5 draw or something like that just so they can say, you know what? You know what, UEFA? You know what, France football? Fuck you. All right, moving on. I'm gonna get heat for this, but I don't care. I've already kind of said it. And 10th, Gigi Donnarumma. Yeah, this one's also ridiculous. Again, does Donnarumma deserve to be in the vicinity of where he was going? Sure. You know, top 15 probably for sure. He was one of the best goalkeepers in the world, but he wasn't the best. He was one of the best goalkeepers of the Euros, but he wasn't the best. He was named the best player of the Euros, but he wasn't the best. You see the trickling here? Mm-hmm. So just because he was awarded the best player of the Euros, and just because he won the European Championships, and just because he got AC Milan to the Champions League, does not make him better than Haaland, better than Mbappe, better than Benzema, better than Mohamed. More than Haaland, basically, is what I'm saying. Look, he's an outstanding goalkeeper. He's one of the best in the world, but he's not the best. Mendy was one of the best in the Premier League last year, won a Champions League. Throw out the trophies. Trophies don't matter, let's say. You cannot tell me that Mendy was not a better goalkeeper than Donnarumma. You cannot tell me Oblak was not a better goalkeeper than Donnarumma. You could probably say that Manuel Neuer was a better goalkeeper than Donnarumma last year. So you're taking the fact that he won trophies. You're taking the fact that he won some individual awards at the Euros ahead of the overall vibe of it. And again, if you're watching PSG this season, Donnarumma's what not playing. You know why? Because PSG have a better goalkeeper than Donnarumma. Donnarumma is the second best goalkeeper at PSG. Navas was unbelievable in the Champions League. This is the guy who's not even in the top 30 on this list. There's something wrong with this picture. Oblak's not on this list. Something wrong with this picture. Mendy's not on this list. I just named three goalkeepers that are better than him. And Neuer's a close one. You could flip a coin on that one. But he's not on this list either. So not only is Donnarumma on this list, he's ahead of a lot of players we just mentioned that are unbelievable, like Neymar, like Martinez, like Lukaku, like a lot of these guys who've been performing at a top level. Donnarumma was a great goalkeeper, but this is inherently incorrect because you can see based on what we're talking about here that this decision the fact that he was voted so high has to do with something that had to do with 11 players, not one. Winning the trophies and getting individual awards helps him get to this level, but it's just not accurate because he's not the best goalkeeper in the world. He's probably in the top five. He's not in the top three. He was awarded the best goalkeeper of 2021, which I think is wrong, but I'm happy for him and it's good for him. Good for Italy. Good for all these things, but they're ignoring the biggest factor of all of this. This is about individual success and brilliance, not about who had the most trophies. And so as much as I like him, this was wrong. This was absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, overall, he's probably happy to be in that positioning.
He loves to be in that position.
Yeah, so, but in general, it's totally, like, lopsided. He, just based on some of the stuff he did during the summer, I mean, that shouldn't be justification to put him at, 10th?
Yeah. He deserves to be on the list, but I just have an issue of where they have him.
I mean, if anything, he deserves to be maybe like 14th, but nothing higher than that.
Right. And if you look at some of the stuff I mentioned here, some of the other goalkeepers that are world-class, that had outstanding seasons, aren't on the list at all. No, he wasn't even on. No one even complained about that one. But if you look at mostly Mendy and Navas and Oblak, those three, the fact that they're better than him and they had a better than him season last year and they're nowhere to be found on the list shows part of why this is corrupt. And again, I'm not slagging off Donnarumma. He's an outstanding keeper, but to have him in 10th is just lying about what they're actually looking at. Because if that was the case, then wouldn't Haaland be in that position? If they just took away trophies, I don't think there's a way that Donnarumma ranks higher than some of these players that we've already mentioned. Again, he was outstanding last year, and he deserves to be in the top 15, top 12. But 10th is the elite status. So when we go up to 10th on this list, we have to change the conversation criteria because now it is very much about individual things. an individual, yes, he wants him, but his performance, and his performance has been good. But is it really better than Erling Haaland? Is it really better than Lukaku? Lukaku, you could say, but Neymar, Suarez. I mean, there's a lot of guys, but you could put Donnarumma deserves to be on this list somewhere. But to be at that number one or number top 10 spot, that means, like, if someone asks you, is Donnarumma the top 10 player in the world? Everyone's saying no. So why is he 10th on this list? In 2021, he was outstanding, but this is just too much for me. I think, and it's not a knock on Donnarumma. It's more a knock on the system and the corruptness of how this was decided.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
All right. This one I'm okay with, but I do think it just depends. Okay. So I'm okay with this in theory. Number 9 is Kylian Mbappe. I'm okay with this in theory, but it's a name that's not been read yet that I have a problem with. Same with, you'll see, this is a common occurrence with the last couple here. So Mbappe was outstanding this season. He was outstanding last season. He's a killer. He starts scoring champions in knockout games. He's been absolutely phenomenal for PSG. When he leaves, he's going to be for a huge price. He's just absolutely unbelievable player. One of the best young players in the world. He's kind of got over that rust patch and has just been an absolute killer, a monster for PSG. When Neymar's not there, he comes up big. So he's one of the best players in the world. He just is. Look at his numbers for France. Look at his numbers for PSG. He just does everything. He's a generational type player. He's going to be on these lists for a very, very long time. And it's just going to continue to rise and rise and rise. An unbelievable player. One of the best in the world. But I don't think you can't have him any lower, but you could have him higher. The problem I have here, and we'll get into this again, unfortunately, is we haven't heard the name Cristiano Ronaldo. And again, Ronaldo's having a great season this season with Man United. Then he had a good season last year with Juve. But again, remember, he didn't take over games individually. And he had moments where he was great. And this season, he's got a few more moments than last season. But he's not been the dominant – he's not been more dominant than Mbappe at PSG. It's just not true. And even though Ronaldo's playing in a better league last year and this year, I don't think you can justify having Cristiano Ronaldo ahead of Mbappe. I just think it's a little crazy to do that. But I think Mbappe deserves a top 9. But this is the lowest he's ever finished in the Ballon d'Or voting, which is crazy. I think he should have been higher. But you know, again, he's not winning it, so it's not as important, but it is important to have the validity of reason. And I think when there's considering some of the guys that are ahead of him, I think 9th is a little too low, but I don't have a huge problem with it. And the grand scale of things, the only reason I have a problem with it is some of the names that are ahead of him.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he can't finish any lower, but he could have finished higher. But it all depends on, like, what you're going for. So, I mean, obviously this is the lowest he's finished on the list, as you just mentioned. But, I mean, it's just crazy, especially the names that come ahead of him. Obviously, he doesn't win it, but you could argue he could have been higher, just depending on what you're going for. But overall, this is definitely still a good position for him to be in. In the top 10, so I mean, in the end, it's not bad, but it could have been better for him in general.
Yeah. Number 8, yeah, is Kevin De Bruyne. Again, one of the best midfielders in the world, was instrumental for the Champions League, was great, scored a great goal against Dortmund. He's just been he's been the guy for Man City for a very long time, and he continues to rise to the occasion and become something spectacular. And I mean, there are players ahead of him that didn't have as good of a season. But as we know, there's a few fraudulent ones in there that don't deserve to be in the top 5 or 10. But consider, if you take away the one that I'm referring, the rest of them, I can get it. I can get behind him in that position. He's been great, but there's a lot of other top players. There's a few you could say, okay, he's better than this guy or this guy. You could probably flip him and Mbappe maybe, but he did get to a Champions League final and so on and so forth. So I don't have a problem with him here. Again, it's to me, the issues come from some of the players that are ahead of him that shouldn't be. But you know, I think he's definitely deserved to be in the top 10. So I think 8th is a perfectly fine spot for him to be hanging out.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much hit the nail on the head. So I 100% agree with this position.
All right. Now, let's see. There's a few that really, this one really pissed me off too. At number seven, Mohamed Salah. So you're telling me that Cristiano Ronaldo, Jorginho, both had better seasons than Mohamed Salah. Mohamed Salah is an absolute monster. He's a killer. He's been scoring in the Premier League like it's easy. He's been this season he's been on another level. But over the last year, over this year, he's been amazing. You know, he's scoring some of the best goals we see in England. He is, you know, not only that, he's getting teammates involved. He's really efficient in front of goal when he has his chances. He misses chances as always, but he's been one of the best players in the Premier League. He's probably the best player in the Premier League and has been for several years. If you compare the season he just had and compare the season Ronaldo has just had and Jorginho just had, if you take away stats, let's say stats don't matter and you're just watching all of that, Mohamed Salah clearly should be higher in this list. And I find it a little offensive that he is this low. And again, a lot of people would kill to be seventh on the Ballon d'Or list, but I think he deserved to be much higher. He's one of those players in next year's Ballon d'Or that will be at the very top of the list. So considering the season he's having, considering the season he had from January to now, he's just been unreal. And I think placing him this low on this list is just no. This is just it's just way too low for a player who scores as frequently as he does.
Yeah, 100% agree. I mean, if anything, I would have swapped Mohamed Salah for Cristiano Ronaldo, who we'll talk about next. But I mean, just based on how he performs, he definitely deserves to be higher than like the next two people that we're mentioning.
Yeah, Cristiano Ronaldo in six. Again, no. I mean, I kind of said it already. He was great for Juve last year. But it's not the dominating Ronaldo from past. And I know we mentioned it all the time, but this year he's been better than last season. He's got more moments than with Juve last year. But he's been good with Man United, and he was really good with Juve. But again, it came down to moments. It wasn't always. You very rarely saw Ronaldo for 90 minutes who was dominating. And that goes with age, and that comes across with so many different things and all that. And he's one of the greatest we've ever seen. But nostalgia should not dictate where you finish in the Ballon d'Or. And for the expectation of Ronaldo in past years, I think this is probably the committee got this right in a sense, because – He doesn't deserve to be anywhere near the top three or four, and he's not in the top three or four. But again, this is still a little low. Sorry, a little high for him in general, just because of he's a really good player, but he's not that dominating player that he was in the past couple of years. If you look at the Mohamed Salah should be in front of him, De Bruyne should, Mbappe should, Haaland should, and there's a few others. But I don't have a huge problem with him being in sixth, but I have a problem with Mohamed Salah not being in front of him and Haaland not being in front of him and Mbappe not being in front of him. But the actual place where he's sitting, I don't mind him being in that position. It comes down to the players that he's finishing ahead of that he shouldn't. But you know, all things considered, Ronaldo's been very good. So I don't have a huge problem other than Mohamed Salah being behind him.
Yeah, definitely. 100% agree.
All right. This one is a little high, but I don't have a massive issue with it, and that's N'Golo Kanté. Again, he came in. He was struggling last year. Then Tuchel came in, and he became the player that we expect him to be. It was unbelievable. He's been great this year. Continues to be an absolute monster. One of the best defensive midfielders in the world. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. Again. This is what I always say. If you took the trophies away, would they still be in that position? And the answer is no. So he's probably deserves to be higher up just because of the trophies he won and his influence on winning those trophies. But I think fifth is a little high. I think then they need to be more reasonable with where they placed him. But I don't have a huge problem with him there, just because it's not high enough where it's disrespectful or ridiculous, but he's not like, but he did have a very, very, the quality that he had during that stretch, some in a way overshadows the fact that he wasn't didn't have that consistency the whole time. But Conte was unbelievable. So even though I think it's a little high, it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is, but I definitely think this would be one of those positions that I would have swapped him for Erling Haaland in this position.
Yeah, agreed.
Because obviously, Haaland, we've seen him. He is an absolute machine. Heck, you could even put Mohamed Salah in this position. It would be justified.
Yeah, but, same.
But this is just one of those scenarios that is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, and when he played, when he was in his on in his bag, as they say, he was at an extremely high level. There's other players. I think you know who I'm fucking talking about on this list who had a similar situation but did not equate even close to the quality that, that Conte had from, like, January to or after until now. So it's just – you have to look at a lot of the things that come into this. But, I mean, Conte is so likable that I don't have a problem with this. Again – he doesn't. If he was higher up, I'd probably be throwing a bigger fit. But I think in that position at the moment, I think it's a little generous to have him that high. But I think because of how the level he operated at since that time, he deserved to be in the top 10, top 15 for sure. He deserves to be on the list, obviously. But it wasn't like he was playing like that the entire time, and I think that's a big separator for me. All right, this one was ridiculous because this one's going to give away the second biggest issue with this list. Karim Benzema in fourth. Karim Benzema is the second best striker in the world, and it's, you know, I mean, it's between him and Haaland, really, but Benzema is one of the best players in the world. He's a consistent operator. He's consistent. He's the reason Real Madrid pick up points most weeks. They're a good team, but Benzema is the one that dictates everything. He's a scoring machine. He can, you know, come to your back guard and put three in the back of your net. You boys are going to have to see him soon. Because he's going to be rolling up to the Bernabeu, ready to sort of do this. Obviously, with Benzema, there is a controversial nature to it because of stuff that is not related to football. But I don't want not to related to football. There's obviously the blackmail sex tape controversy, which he was found guilty of. But that case existed many years ago, and it was finally settled where he has to pay this big fine or whatever. But that should not take away from the season he just had. I think he was either second or first in La Liga goals. He is a constant goal scorer in the Champions League. He's done it on the biggest stage with Ronaldo and without Ronaldo. If you look at his stats after Ronaldo left, they've gone through the roof. And he's just a guy who just completely dominates games. And if you look at some of the other variables that come into this, especially names that I haven't said yet, it seems absurd that he would be this. Again, you can move him up. You probably only move him up one spot. But the fact of who's in front of him, I have a huge problem with, because Benzema is one of the best players in the world this season and in general. So if you want to take the big thing that comes into this is that he should not be and fourth, because he's an amazing player and he continues to be. But so I have a problem with, again, it's the same thing I'm saying every time. I have a problem. I don't have a problem with him in fourth. I have a problem with who he's behind. But personally, as when we made predictions a couple weeks ago, I would have actually had him in second, but at the very minimum third, because I think there's a big separation between Messi, Lewandowski, and Benzema and everyone else. I think those two were just clear of everybody, and that's, I think that was pretty obvious. But so I just didn't like that he was this low. He should have been a lot higher, but, you know, it's another great season. He didn't have a real – he's actually one of – actually, no, that's not true. I think he had a long shot to win it. I think it was possible for him to win the Ballon d'Or. But fourth, I just think it's too low. And I'm talking about the degree of one place, but it's really who he's finishing behind that I have a problem with.
Yeah, I mean, agreed. I mean, there's one name who's ahead of Benzema that you really can't argue for. But, I mean, the other ones are just, like, totally egregious.
Yeah. again, I'm going to preface this for the both of us. We like Jorginho. We think Jorginho is an excellent player. But just because we like a certain player, that doesn't mean we're not going to ignore the fucking fraudulence of this situation. Let me ask you, this is kind of a rhetorical question, but feel free to answer it. Before the Champions League and before the Euros, was Jorginho's name being thrown into the hat of the Ballon d'Or?
If I remember, I don't think so.
Okay. That's all I need to say. Look, this is what a lot of people don't understand. And I'm going to say the word really slow so people really understand. This is an individual award. What you do with your team is irrelevant. And I'm gonna make a little thing here. If you're Luka Modric, you win the Champions League, you're one of the best midfielders in the world, and then off all that, you take a small country of Croatia to the World Cup final, I'm okay with pushing you up a little higher. I think that's relevant. But unless that's the case, it's not relevant. Let's break this down. At Chelsea, was he the best player on their team? No, he wasn't. Was he important? Absolutely. He was great with Chelsea at the end, very much at the end. He wins the Champions League, but he's not the only one on the team. There's 11 other. You can't take someone. If you take away their trophies, he's not a candidate for the top 15. Nevertheless, the top three. Just because you won the Champions League and the Euros does not make you better than everyone on this list except for Messi and Lewandowski. No one on earth believes that he is a top three player in the world, nor do they believe that he's been the top third to the third best player in 2021. And I know we're affectionate towards him because he's Italian. I know a lot of our Italian fans, friends love him, but it's just not accurate to have a guy who struggled for half the year, then came on late and won a bunch of trophies, that okay, all of a sudden, okay, he's a top three Ballon d'Or. No. Has he done anything this season better than Benzema? No. And Benzema and him don't play the same position as much as a lot of these guys. But there's a more of an argument from Benzema than it is for Jorginho. There's Benzema has a better argument. Conte has got a better argument. Ronaldo's got a better argument. Salah's got a better argument. De Bruyne, Mbappe, Haaland, even Donnarumma, Lukaku. Lukaku has a better argument. Neymar's got a better argument. Sterling's got a better argument. Luis Suarez got a better argument. I can go on. Bruno's got a better argument. Lautaro Martinez has a better argument. Okay, I'm acknowledging that he deserves to be on this list. There's no doubt that he deserves to be on this list. But to say that he's better than all of those guys is just absurd. Is he a good player? Yes. Is he a fantastic player? Absolutely. Was he great in the Champions League? Yes. Was he great in the Euros? Absolutely. But come on, man. You cannot just say, okay, so he won these trophies, that all of a sudden he's better than 97% of the whole fucking world. This is just beyond ridiculous. So all things in consideration, with respect to Jorginho, this was as fraudulent as anything. This would have been the most fraudulent thing on this thing in the ceremony if it wasn't for the number one. But you have to look at all of things considered. If you take away their trophies, are they still a candidate? And the thing is, before the Champions League, nobody was talking about Jorginho for the Champions League. And then he won some trophies, and now all of a sudden – that overpowers individual ability for the 2021 season? No. With respect, I love you, Jorginho, but no, this is ridiculous. If he had won it, he should have given it away because he wouldn't have deserved it. And when you get into this stage, you're talking about players that could have won it. I mean, we had a big issue of who didn't win it, but we also would have – this would have been a bigger issue if he had – imagine if he had won the thing after being – just okay for half the year and then been great for the other half and won a bunch of trophies. You cannot give it to someone just because they won a bunch. The trophies that you win are good, but unless you're in a Luka Modric situation, you can't be doing that. And with all due respect, no, he deserves on this list, but not in the top 10, probably not in the top 15. This was as absurd as anything. If you take it for face value, it's probably the most ridiculous thing that we saw on tonight.
You know, I've always wanted to say this on a podcast, but this one was some straight up bullshit. I mean, I've always wanted to say that on a podcast episode, but it is. I mean, based on who could have won it, you had obviously you had Erling Haaland, you had Mbappe, you had Chicken Tiki Masala. I mean, you had all these great players that should have definitely been in that third position. And so, I mean, this was absolutely, obviously, Jorginho is a great player. Don't get us wrong. We're not saying he's not.
Yeah.
But based on what we, if we took all those trophies out, it doesn't mean anything, because this is based on, should be based on individual performance alone. Obviously, he had a trash start to the season and then finished off red hot. But that doesn't justify him being in third, especially with the other people that we had just mentioned that came before him that definitely deserved this spot way more than he did. If he had won it, I'd be like, I'm calling the cops for highway robbery and then some.
But if he had won it, Italy should be knocked out of the fucking World Cup even before the playoff. They should have just been eliminated. I'm sorry. I don't know. Again, I like Jorginho, and he didn't have a terrible start to the season, but it wasn't to his standard. And then he got into a way about him late in the midway through the season to the Champions League and to the Euros. He was great in the Champions League. He was great in the Euros. And that's not to be swept under the rug. That's very impressive. But we're talking about an award given out to the best player in the world. Even with Neymar's lack of availability, even he has a stronger case for this. Suarez won the league with Atletico Madrid for the first time in a long time. So you look at all these players that it's not just, okay, he's great. No, he's a great player. But in 2021, nobody was saying he's the best player in the world or a top three player in the world before this happened. People change the conversation once he started picking up trophies. And that's the problem with a lot of what happened with this list. So, again, we love Jorginho, but they went crazy with where he ended up just because he won the trophies. Look, if that's the case, then why doesn't Emerson – why isn't he a candidate for the Ballon d'Or then? Why didn't he get top three? Because Emerson won the Champions with Chelsea, and Emerson also won the Euros with Italy. So – If because you're basically saying that the trophies is all that matter. If that's all that matters, then Emerson should be top three. So he shouldn't have been on the top 30. Jorginho is a better player, but you kind of get what I'm saying. It's just they took too much importance on the trophies that he picked up rather than you know, evaluating how you're supposed to.
Exactly.
All right, here we go. So I think we know the rest of this. The most lopsided, the most one-sided Ballon d'Or, in my opinion, since the 4 years that Messi just ran wild, didn't win it. And I'm still trying to figure out in my mind how he didn't win it. And obviously Leo Messi wins his seventh, and it is his seventh. I know earlier today I said it doesn't count, but it's still his. And it's sad because what else could Robert Lewandowski do? Like I genuinely questioning what else could he have done? He has 111 goals. In 20 from I think this year total from January to January, I think, or I don't know how the thing goes, but there's a stat where combined he's got 111 goals. For those of you who don't know Gerd Müller, he's one of the most prolific goal scorers in the history of German football and in the history of football. He scored 40 goals in a Bundesliga season in 1985 or around then. That record stood for 49 years. Gerd Müller during that era, during that season, played 40 games. He ended up with 40 goals, something like that. Robert Lewandowski played 29 games and scored 41 goals. in the Champions League, he was scoring when he was playing. The entire reason Bayern aren't two-time back-to-back Champions League winners is because Robert Lewandowski was not available to play against PSG. So you look at everything that came into this. He's done everything right. He's won the Bundesliga, and I know people are going, oh, it's the Bundesliga. But it's still a very difficult league, and it's never like Bayern just show up with a trophy. They win it eventually, but it's never an easy road. You look at everything he has done in the Champions League, the records that he has set, everything that come into this. The facts are he was not given the Ballon d'Or in 2020, when he would have won it, obviously. And he should have won it this year, too, and I don't think it should have been close. The last 2 years, he's been the best player in the world. And again, Messi won the Copa America. When he won it, we were incredibly happy for him. It's something he deserved. The video with him and his wife and his kids on FaceTime after he won it, the tears that he shed, the moment with Neymar. Messi had an outstanding season. He won a trophy with one of the worst Barcelona sides I've ever seen. Certainly the worst Barcelona side that you have seen. So there's nothing to be sort of belligerent about Messi. Messi's the greatest player ever to exist. That is never going to change. I would be shocked if in 50 years he's still not the GOAT. But being the greatest ever does not give you a God-given right to win the Ballon d'Or. He won the Copa America. And like I said, individual, this is individual. This isn't team. He was the best player on that team. It was almost an individual trophy, but it's not because it was with Argentina. The Euros doesn't matter. The Copa America doesn't matter. The Asian Cup doesn't matter. None of it matters. Only thing that matters is who was the best player in the world. Individually speaking, Robert Lewandowski has been and continues and will continue to be the best player in the world. The sad part of all this is Robert Lewandowski could have won two Ballon d'Ors. He has zero. So the future generation will not think of him the same way based on the fact that he wasn't given what he deserved. Messi is trying to campaign for Robert to win the 2020 Ballon d'Or. And I think even despite these results that the France football should give it to him because Messi just told you to. So, and this is, again, the anger that we felt when this happened, it wasn't directed at Leo Messi. It was directed at the Ballon d'Or ceremony, the people making these decisions, and those who were voting for him. It's not his fault. Again, I think deep down he knows Robert Lewandowski probably deserves it, and so on and so forth. And Robert Lewandowski just has been the best player in the world. You look at back in the 2020 Champions League, he scored 17 goals, and half of those games were one leg. Had both of them been two legs, he would have broken Ronaldo's record by several goals. You look at what he's done, and you look at, most importantly, when he got injured, what happened? Bayern crashed out. So on every level, Robert Lewandowski deserves it. It is a ridiculous decision by UEFA and by the France football because it shouldn't have been close. Robert Lewandowski should have had this in the bag easily. And again, Messi won the Copa America, but that doesn't matter to the fucking Ballon d'Or, the criteria of what it should be. It's who's the best player. He also won the Copa del Rey, and that's as important because he was influential. But none of that overpowers what Robert Lewandowski just did. He scored 49 goals last year, and he missed, I think, 3 weeks with injury. So again, I'm just gonna repeat that last thing. What else does he need to do? I mean, tell me.
I mean, to be honest with you, I really have nothing else to add because you pretty much hit everything spot on. Like, you asked the real question. What else could he have done? Absolutely nothing. He is the greatest player in the world right now, and he continues to prove that week in and week out at Bayern. Obviously, when you look at what had happened in the Champions League during the one leg, hey, Barcelona, remember 8-2? I mean, and a lot of those, some of those both came from Robert Lewandowski. I mean, this is just totally disrespectful. And I will applaud Lionel Messi to trying to petition to get Robert Lewandowski the Ballon d'Or for 2020 because it's rightfully deserved. And I hope they listen to Lionel Messi and say, hey, he deserves this way more than I do. And he proved it by having all these accolades. Whereas I mean, I've won already this many of six of them already. So he deserves this based on merit alone.
Remember that they won the treble in 2020. And then look what he did in 2021. There's no, again, without injury, he's passing 50.
Exactly. So I applaud Lionel Messi for trying to get this done for Robert Lewandowski. But I just hope, but are they going to listen? I don't know. We'll see what happens. But, I mean, this was definitely egregious. 110%.
Yeah, and I think it kind of evaluates a bigger problem, and that's, you know, it comes down to things that, okay, obviously he should have won the Ballon d'Or. He did not. That's facts. That's this way it is. But going forward in the future, you have to. It's crazy how time has changed that we're still having the same conversation, you know, 3 years later. Because obviously we talked about we weren't doing podcasting at that time, but we discussed with Ryan Luka Modric winning it in 2018. And it wasn't the fact that he had won it. And obviously we were happy for him. It was like he won it, but he wasn't the most deserving for it. But because of special circumstances, he ended up winning it based on the fact that he took Croatia to the World Cup final. And we talked about a lot of different things about what's wrong with the award. We're having the same conversations, except it's getting worse. It's not getting better. You have to look at this from Messi's the GOAT. He just is. But that doesn't mean he deserves it every single year. And of the ones that he's won, you know, there's very little to be left up for debate because he's been just that good. Secondly, it's a personal award. It does not matter what you do with your country, or it matters to us a point what you do with your team, but it is an individual award. So if you won the Champions League or didn't win the Champions League, that should not determine where you're ranking. What your ranking was before Champions League football, before the tournaments, that's where you exist. Again, this is something I'm just going to list off a bunch of things and I'll just give you a reaction. The criteria that the France football is using should be public knowledge. So even if they're idiots, even if they're going to still fuck it up, we should know that they're fucking up. So when the Ballon d'Or comes out, the year after the Ballon d'Or ceremony this year, they should have a public statement in detail of what criteria that they are using for the Ballon d'Or, just so when we go into the tournament, when we go into the next ceremony, that we're aware of what the hell they're looking for. Because we don't know for all we know, they could just be voting for who they like the best, who has got the nicest shoes, whose stats there they like the best. But again, stats is not always the way to look at everything. It should be knowledge, it should be public of what you know the thing is. Secondly, the voting is corrupt as shit. They should have the Champions League. All the coaches in the Champions League vote on it. All the players in the Champions League vote on it. The players from the top three, four leagues, whatever, those players should be able to vote on the award. And I guarantee if they were able to, the winner of this year's Ballon d'Or probably would have been different. So you have to look at all areas of this. It's a corrupt system, but we should at least be informed of what they're looking for. The voting should be more diverse as far as more people should be involved in it. And if you have any bias whatsoever, you should not be allowed to vote. So I think, you know, it's easy to say Robert Lewandowski deserves it, and he did. But the bigger problem is how the hell to fix it. And, you know, I have some ideas, but it's just there's a lot of it. And I think today specifically, and it's not because of Lionel Messi, it's not his fault. But the award itself lost credibility. And imagine the kids of the future when we're talking about Robert Lewandowski and the fact that he should have won two Ballon d'Ors and was robbed of two of them. We will know that. But the kids of the future will not know that. So they won't look at Robert Lewandowski the way we will and do. This guy's going to go down as a top 20 player ever. And without the two Ballon d'Ors that he deserves. So it's a mess, and there's lots of changes that need to be made. But it's, again, this entire day was a disaster.
As they say, Bob the Builder, can he fix it? Bob the Builder looks at this Ballon d'Or and says, nope, it's fucked.
It is, though.
I mean, literally, it's that bad. I mean, I totally 100% agree with you that we should be able, as fans, be able to see the criteria you're going off of. Because, like, with any other award, like, out there, whether it's, like, a music award, some other different awards, normally you kind of have an idea of what the criteria is, like, based on, like, streams, album purchases, stuff like that. You kind of figure out what they're going off of when these awards are given to these artists. But not to have what you're the criteria for the Ballon d'Or, it's like there's no transparency, and that's a major problem. Obviously, that needs to become public knowledge, just like you said. Obviously, if you have bias, you should not be allowed to vote at all, because you're going to let your bias get in the way of the truth. And there's just so much that needs to be done, and I don't know where they go from here, but obviously until there are some dramatic changes made, it's just going to be a continued fucked up trophy year in and year out. And so, I mean, I just hope at some point they come to the realization that there needs to be transparency of what they're going off of. But, and I also agree that there should be more diversity. Even us as fans should have some say in, like, we should even be allowed to vote. Obviously, you're going to have the Messi and Ronaldo fanboys, but in general, we should also have the right to vote, too. Because, I mean, even if you're a Lionel Messi or Ronaldo fan, you could look strategically at Robert Lewandowski and say, hey, as much as I love these two, whether I love Ronaldo or Messi, whatever, Robert Lewandowski absolutely is the better player, and was the better player between these past two Ballon d'Ors. So they could even say, hey, I'm not voting for, even as much as I love to vote for my guy, I have to go with what I know is right in front of me. So, I mean, we should, as fans, be allowed to vote too, because this is just terrible on how things just ended up today.
And yeah.
I was literally finally just got home, and then when you told me, I'm like, oh, for fuck.
I was just sending you everything that, like, at the moment that was coming through. I was just like, no, you're right, though. I think we should be able to vote, but I think the thing is, I don't trust fans as much as we deserve a voice. I don't trust them because fans are more biased than anybody. But maybe we should be able to vote on the nominees. And I think there's way too many nominees. There does not need to be 30 fucking nominees. I mean, as much as I respect the guys on the list, it should be like 10 guys. Like, as far,
I know more than 15 at least.
Yeah. In the past, they used to have a full list of the 30 and then a short list of five. Well, those were the four or five that could actually win it. When we did when Messi won in 2015, it was Ronaldo was there, Messi was there, Neymar was there, and maybe other people went, but those were the three people, because that's what it used to be. Those were the only people who could actually win it, be coming off the short list. And I don't know how the whole system works, but I trust people like Klopp, Pep, Hans Flick, Joachim Löw, Conte, Inzaghi, Tuchel, Mourinho, Spalletti. I mean, I could go on. Julian Nagelsmann. Those players have those coaches have opinions, and I trust what they have to say more than what whoever is running French football has to say. I also want to see the guys who are nominated vote. I want to see the guys who aren't nominated vote. I want to see players from all of the top five, three leagues. I want to see the Bundesliga, Serie A, and the Premier League, and others. The top players from those leagues should get a vote, because you're okay. So why the thing? My question is, why does French football get to make all the decisions? How do we know that the people making the decisions aren't a bunch of corrupt people who prefer certain people to other people? So we need more diversity as far as determining who should win the award. So we're just supposed to put all our faith in fucking French football when we don't know a thing about who's voting. We don't know a thing about the criteria. And again, criteria is subjective. My criteria for the Ballon d'Or and your criteria for the Ballon d'Or may not be the same thing. A lot of people take international success seriously within this competition to a certain extent. I don't care about – I think the voting should stop the second the season's over. I don't care what you do in the World Cup, Euros, Copa America, African Cup, Asian Cup, whatever. I'm just not interested in – I'm not interested in any of that, but that's just me. Other people may take some of that into consideration. So the thing is, it's all dictated by different kinds of perspectives, and none of them are going to be the same. So how are we getting an objective view because of these journalists? You know, and you look at, you look at a lot of different kind of things that have to do with everything that has to do with the Ballon d'Or, but everyone has preferences, and this, it should be a save. And we're giving these guys the responsibility of deciding the most important individual award in football, and one that will change the outcome of football history and how certain players are viewed. On one side, Robert Lewandowski could have two, and his reputation in long term for future generations will be more appreciated in a situation where he has two. And then another thing is, even people like Luka Modric, who won one, people are going to think of him in a high regard because he won one, and so on and so forth. So it's a mess. Today was an absolute a tragic thing. And again, I don't blame Messi at all. It's not his fault. It's the people inside. And again, the order of the list was a little ridiculous. But, you know, we don't need fucking 100,000 nominees. As things are going, I might be nominated next year too. So just cut it to 5 or 10 and then just move on. But there was so much potential for us to get what football deserved and what the truth was. And the truth was not fulfilled because there are those who refuse to face the truth and voted based on nostalgia, voted based on international success, and did not look at it as who was the best player in the world in 2021. There was one answer, and it was Robert Lewandowski. And that's nothing against Messi. He is the GOAT. We know this. But the only conclusion to this Ballon d'Or was Robert Lewandowski. Anything less than that was not the right outcome.
And the winner of the most fucked up award goes to the Ballon d'Or. Man, I'm rolling with some good jokes today, man. I'm loving it.
No, I'll probably cut this because it's irrelevant. But there's this fucking documentary, a short film on YouTube called I think it's like Who's Soccer Stories, and there was one about Francesco Totti, and it was an awesome video, but some of the words that the guy was saying were just hilarious. And he's like, some of them were inaccurate, by the way. He's like, he would never win the Champions League. He would never be a Ballon d'Or. Not would he never win a Ballon d'Or. He would never be a Ballon d'Or. Like, it's some Transformer shit. I'll send you the video. It's funny. It's like very... I love it because it's very emotional because of some of the stuff, but some of the stuff is just, it's not that it's inaccurate. It's like the way he's saying shit. Like no one is a Ballon d'Or. They win the Ballon d'Or.
Football formers assemble. I automatically turn into a football.
Oh, you know what that reminds me of? I'm going to call it. You know, in Friends, when what's her name? Monica's dating someone like way younger than him, and then Chandler asks, or I forgot who asked. He's like, what's his favorite Power Ranger? She's like, they're like, one more thing. Power Rangers Assemble, Tyrannosaurus. <That's hilarious. laughs>
But anyway, before this gets too crazy, we're just going to cut this part out. But anyway, this has been another edition of Couchos Unplugged, and we'll see you guys later.
Sometimes all I think about is you. Late nights in the middle of June. He always been faking me out.